Sergeant Brad's Reel 3.
We were on about going on leave.
Yes, you were saying you had five days. 5 days leave in Cairo.
Yes, that's right.
What could you do if you were in Cairo? What facilities were there?
Well, I'll tell you in a minute. We were given 5 days leave in Cairo, which was staggered across a few weeks. We travelled up by train, which took us about 2 hours and gave us a chance to see the scenery and to see the peasants irrigating their land with their primitive back-breaking methods as old as time itself. When we arrived at Cairo station, we were quickly surrounded by dozens of touts for hotels, all claiming theirs were the best expensive. There were 4 of us together, and we settled for the man from the Union Jack Hotel. After a little walk through a labyrinth of streets, we got there. It seemed quite a modern place, on the main street, and very clean. We opted for a large room with 4 single beds and settled in. After a meal, we went out to explore the city. Everywhere we walked, we were followed by dozens of boot boys, all wanting to polish our boots. Some only about 6 years old. Some tried to drum up a bit of custom by throwing bits of rotten tomatoes or rubbish into the street, at the same time trying to hit the boots of the unwilling customers. They'd shoot a folly, you know, with and throw sand and all sorts. Oh, you want your shoe boots polishing now? During the remaining days, we saw most of the tourist sites of the city and then visited the site of the pyramids at Gaza and the Sphinx. It was possible to go inside the larger pyramid shops with a guide and see the various chambers and marvel at the amazing ventilation system which had been into them to keep the fresh air. Then a ride on a camel round the site. Yes, they're not very good. There were a group of REs also on leave there and were taking photographs of each other on the camels. I managed to be on one of the photographs and never thought any more about it until many years later, when I was back at work and was shown to me, and this was shown to me by a chap who worked there and had recognised me when he had seen it. His brother, who had been one of the REs. Chap I worked with, his brother had been there, and when he got back home and showed his brother, the scene. He said, "Well, I know this bloke." he said, yes, that's so. And they brought it down and showed me. Then there was another fella wanted to tell our fortunes and all that sort of stuff.
Was it expensive going into Cairo?
No, not really. No. Because, see, we had a bit of money, because we wouldn't have spent anything from, there was nothing to buy in the desert, of course, and so we did have a bit of cash that we'd collected.
How did you take to living in the desert when you were out there? Did you manage to find ways of getting comfortable?
No, I never, with my skin, you know, I had a really tender skin, and I used to make a lot of sun sores, two or three at a time. Eventually, it wore off, I got used to it, but then again, most of our time after that wasn't in the desert, it was in, normal surroundings.
What about the food in the desert? How was that?
Well, they had cooks to do it. You know, we ate it from our tins and that sort of thing. But there wasn't a lot of variety, I can tell you. We had some super cooks.
What about water? Did you have enough water?
Yes, you know, we used to arrange to. There used to be they sent water carts up, and you could go and fill your particular, you know, thing, and go around the camp, and you know, everybody gets some water.
What happened after? You got back to the camp. You went to Cairo. What were you doing for the rest of the time when you were in the Delta?
Well, I think when we got back to our few days leaves over, we returned to camp to learn that we were going abroad. Three commando ships on the Bitter Lakes to train to make assault landing should they ever be required on the North African coast. However, this only lasted half a day. Having got ourselves settled and everything stored away, we were quickly disembarked. As the Germans had landed troops near Benghazi, had taken over what was left of the Italian forces, and were beginning to advance back along the coast, the battalion then set off up the coast road, only to be diverted again, and we found ourselves in Alexandria. The Germans had pushed down into Greece, and we were expected to attack the island of Crete. There were already some Australian and New Zealand troops on the island who had retired from the German attack on Greece. We boarded the battle cruiser HMS Gloucester and set off for Crete. Crossing took about 8 hours. This was during the night, in very heavy weather, and we didn't know whether the Germans had landed any forces on the island. We had to be prepared for what might be an opposed landing, and all our weapons were ready for use. We arrived about midnight at the port of Heraklion on the north side of the island, which was also the island's capital. There was no opposition, and the ship was able to get onto the quay, and we were able to walk easily on the shore. We unloaded all our gear as quickly as possible, and the ship wanted to get back the maximum distance as possible under the cloak of darkness.
When you were on the ship, where did you go personally? Where did you? How did you spend the voyage?
Well, when we went to Crete from Alexandria, and it's about 4 hours, I think. And well, we were. You know, you had to stuff your stuff away and look after your things and all like that. Now, the funny thing was that you were crowded onto the boat, you had to crush as many people as can be, and I was going down these steps with my gear, and I just got to the bottom, and there was a bloke, a sailor at the bottom, and he looked up, and it was a bloke I'd just left at Barron's. He says, "Come on, I'll see you. I'll get you something to eat." He says, "I'll get you some milk." And I said, "All right then." So I kept my eyes open from, you know, in case I was being noticed to be missed. And
I didn't expect that. That was a surprise.
So you spent the voyage below then? You weren't on deck?
No, I wasn't on deck. Well, most of them were below decks. Mm. And when it was, when they got there, of course, everybody had to disembark and all that stuff. And the thing was, the lad, as I say, who was in the Navy, and had given me the, take me round the back into their cookhouse and that, give me some milk and all that. When I got home, I asked about him, and he'd been killed crossing the road from the pub by a drunken driver on Friday night. What an ending, eh? Mm. What an ending.
Very unlucky.
Amazing.
And what happened to you? You got off the...
You're interested, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You got off the Gloucester at Heraklion. And what happened next?
The what? Well, we went on Crete.
Yes.
Yes, well, they started to build up their forces bigger and bigger, and because they got huge parts of Greece, which they used as, where they could store stuff and build up stuff. And
well, what happened to you after you got off? You're on the Gloucester, you sailed to Heraklion.
Yeah, Heraklion.
So you had to get off quickly. Yeah. And then
we started, each were allowed portions of, which were to put their soldiers in and that type of thing. Mm. And at the beginning, we could have leave. We could go down into the town, and all that. But after the raids, German raids, got stronger and stronger and stronger, all that had to be done away with, and we took up our things against them.
Where was your position then? Where were you deployed?
Well, we were up, I don't think we had any specific spot. They were, it's a built-up island, there's houses and everything on it. The Germans were making use of these. And finally, we had to capitulate and make our way back to the ship that had been sent to fetch us.
But before that happened, where were you actually put to defend? Were you on the airfield, or were you in the town, or?
It's difficult to explain because there's times when, we were in one place and then. There was a panic on because the Germans were coming through and we had to go and up to there and so on, to travel where that we were most wanted. And then finally we had to get off, we had to evacuate, and we were lucky we got off.
Do you remember any of those actions in particular when you had to move rapidly?
Yes.
Any particular place that you went to?
I can remember everything what happened on Crete. And as I say, then we managed to get off, but some were left, and they were made prisoners of war for the Germans.
Were these from your battalion?
Mainly, yes. But there were some other units there as well, and there was paratroops. Our paratroops, but they weren't got as many as the Germans had, so they could stand bigger losses than ours.
But when you arrived, you got off the ship, and do you remember the first place you went to once you'd got off on arrival?
On arrival.
Mm, where did you go first?
I think I can't remember. There was We didn't know whether who was on the island, you know, which where it was safe, where it was not safe, and so we took over just some fields and sort of made them our little headquarters and this, that, the other, till we saw where we were the next morning. And there were some shops and things like that that we could go to, and the natives were very good. They would bring you currants and all kinds of stuff, if you know. And but it was a losing battle because the Germans were so much stronger, and they were coming more and more and more, and they had more and more paratroopers. You see, well, we had nothing behind our back. They had, because they were already in Greece. They'd already taken the bottom part of Greece.
Did you dig in on that first morning when?
Yes, we dug in. And first thing to do, we didn't know where anybody might come from. Mm. Yes, and
were you attacked in that position?
No, because the Germans hadn't got there then. Mm. in any great. They'd come over occasionally with dropping a bomb or two, or let us know that they were there, but they hadn't gathered up enough strength to attack us. We got permission to go into the town, half a day each or something like that, and as long as you got back all right. And there was some little cafes, there were some gorgeous little girls on as well. But unfortunately we haven't time to deal with them. And then of course we got off. And
did you see anything of the Greek army on the island? Did you see any Greek soldiers on Crete?
Yes. There was a few of them, but they were pathetic. They couldn't defend themselves against the Germans.
Did you actually come into battle against the German paratroopers?
Oh yes.
Where was that?
That was farther into the island.
Okay, so you went into the island from Heraklion.
Yeah.
And what happened when, on your first meeting with the German?
We managed to get two or three paratroopers, and then they disappeared again. And that would be that for a few days, you see, and then they would come back strengthened again. Till finally, we hadn't much hope because we weren't getting any supplies. They were, and so it was decided that the only thing they could do would be to evacuate the island. And they sent our warships round to get us off. Most of us got off, but some were unfortunately taken prisoners by the Germans. They couldn't get away in time.
How did you get off then? What were you, did you go back through a port, or were you taken off a beach?
Off a beach. Yes.
Do you know where the beach was?
Yes. Yes. There was about 300, I think it was, got off on there, and we managed to get safely across.
What sort of ship did you get onto?
It was a HMS. It was a warship, a naval ship. I don't know what it would be. You were in the Navy, weren't you?
Yes.
Were you had your platoon suffered any casualties when they were in Crete?
Yes, I had two or three casualties. I had.
How did they happen? Do you remember?
Well, it was with attacked by the parachutists and bombs hurled and all that kind of thing. And
when they did their attacks, what sort of tactics were they using?
When they did those,
when they attacked you, what sort of tactics were they using?
The Germans.
Yes.
They as long as they could, they kept to their their parachutes.
Yes.
And they could, drop guns, drop all sorts of stuff. I'll see what it says here. The ship we got on. It tells you here how we got on. Soon we got down to the water, and soon the crew told us they didn't think that. We were directed to a destroyer lying alongside and scrambled aboard, with me clutching the section Bren gun, for which I was responsible normally. When we got as many men as possible on board, we set off. One of the crew told us he didn't think that we were their load, but were taking us out to sea to one of the battle cruisers moored further out in the bay. Soon we came alongside the cruiser which was to take us, and then began the trickiest move I've ever experienced. This was getting from one ship to the other. Not only was the gap between the ships narrowing and widening continuously, but the level of the decks were going up and down at the same time also. Two naval officers were directing the transfer. When it came to be our turn, we had to get over the rail and wait until he shouted now, and then leap. I had secured my Bren gun across my back with some straps in order to leave my hands free. But it was a bit tricky because the weight, because the weight of the weight, and then I jumped, and the next thing I knew was the company sergeant major grabbing me by the collar and yanking me across with him and landing on the cruiser deck on our knees. But we were safe at last, for the time being. Bit of a fun there.
When did you become the Bren gunner in the section?
I was up Bren gun all the time. There was one and two on the Bren gun, one and two. I was usually the number one.
Earlier on you were a rifleman, weren't you?
Yes. Sometimes we changed over, everybody was supposed to be capable of using all their things, and but normally I was in my section I was the number one on the gun, we used to call it number one. There was a one and a two, and the one would be doing the firing and the other would be filling the things up, and but then I got made up as Lance Corporal. So I didn't have anything more to do with them, with that, except in my duty as Lance Corporal.
What were your duties as Lance Corporal? What was the main?
I think mainly to obey, to do the obey the orders of the corporals. Mm. No, they were. It's the lowest rank. And you did orderly corporals. You were made sick reports and all that sort of stuff. And who was on this morning? And and if you were on the guards, you would be the second in command on the guard. The corporals would be the any corporal that were on would be the guard, and the you would be the you know, the junior.
What did you have to do as Lance Corporal when you were in action?
Well, you had to sort of keep the section together, see what they were doing, and this, that, and the other, and keep your eyes and ears open, and you know, you had to you were in charge of these men as much as possible, and you had to sort of use your judgment and use what you think we ought to be doing.
So you were section commander then?
No, you were a section commander when you were a corporal. Yes, a full corporal, a section commander.
Well, what did a lance corporal do in the section? Did he?
Well, he was just junior to you. He would do something if you give him a job, and he'd do it if he felt like it. And then I got to be a sergeant. And
what happened when you got back after Crete? You got back to
Crete.
Egypt after Crete.
Yes, after Crete.
Did you go to Syria at some time?
We went to
Went you in Syria at some time?
Syria. That's right. That's what was happening. They were frightened of the Germans, who had broken through round the top, Turkey and all round there, coming down into Syria and taking the Jerusalem, taking all that side. So we had to go and stop that, cut them off. That was our job.
How did you get to Syria?
Where would you get to Syria from?
Well, you'd gone from Egypt. But
come
how
from
did
Egypt.
You get there? Did you go by train or by lorry?
I can't remember. Pardon? This is when we got come off. I would rescue me by brain gun and all that sort of thing. Eventually, everything was sorted out, and we went back to camp at base and were re-equipped with everything we had lost. This is coming back from Crete, and or left on the island. Then we had a few days' leave in Port Said, which is at the northern end of the canal. At that time there was a huge statue of de Lesseps, French engineer who built the Suez Canal, with his outstretched arm pointing the way to India and the east. After standing there for nearly a century, it has been pulled down now by a grateful bloody lot of Egyptians. We were not allowed into the private accommodation, but army leave camp or something. Hitler had invaded Russia, and the German armies had swept all before them. In fact, it was thought that Russia would be defeated if the Germans got into the Crimea. And so on, so we had to sort of stall them there. If the Germans got into the Crimea, they would be free to come through Turkey, Syria, and the Lebanon, and into Egypt in a giant pincer movement. Syria was ruled by the Vichy French, who were allies of the Germans since.